This year, the average American will eat about 140 pounds of sugar. James D. Nicolantonio is cardiovascular research scientist at St. Luke's Mid-America Heart Institute in Kansas City. He recently published a study that contends that consuming sugar puts you at more risk for heart disease than consuming salt. James, you know, it's hard for people to get their head around the fact that sugar is not good for you because it is everywhere. And I wonder in your own day how often you are surrounded by opportunities to have some.
I mean, that's a perfect point. 75% of all packaged products in the United States contain hidden sugar. Unfortunately, it is hidden. So, and there's no way of telling the difference on a nutrition label between what's been added, which is normally the refined sugars, high fructose corn syrup, and sucrose, also known as table sugar, and those intrinsic sugars that normally aren't necessarily unhealthy, such as lactose and milk.
So how is refined sugar more dangerous than the kind of sugar that we might inherently find in, say, fruit or milk?
Well, when you look at the extraction and refinement process of added sugars, when you remove the liquid from, let's say, the sugar cane where table sugar is extracted from, and you crystallize it, you heat it up, you boil it down into crystals, you remove all the vitamins, minerals, and the molasses, and you're left with pure white crystals. So it is very much more potent. The sugar load now is not going to be buffered by fiber and antioxidants and other constituents. So now you can get a huge dose in a short period of time. And we never evolved to ingest or to taste such a pure substance. So the refinement process is actually very similar to what we see with cocaine and heroin. So cocaine is another white crystal extracted from the coca leaf, and heroin is another white crystal extracted from the poppy seed. And so when you think about it like that, then you can start to have a more open mind that sugar can actually be addictive. Despite it coming in fruit or despite it coming from the sugar cane, doesn't mean that it's not a more pure substance than what we're used to. But what's really scary is the animal studies. So when you look at animal studies comparing sugar to cocaine, sugar is actually more addictive than cocaine. Even when you get the rats hooked on IV cocaine, once you introduce sugar, almost all of them switch to the sugar. That's how addictive it is because the reward surpasses the reward of that of cocaine.
But you have written that the craving that we have for sugar used to be part of our survival. I mean, you can't say that about cocaine or heroin. How did it transpire with sugar?
Sugar helps us to lay down fat. And certainly when we were, you know, in the Paleolithic times, we were dealing with food scarcity, particularly in the winter. So if we had a higher reward for those higher sugar foods such as honey or fruit, we would eat more of it. We would seek it out. We would store more fat. And so if we were able to store more fat, we were more likely to survive winter. Unfortunately, now that reward is working against us because now we're ingesting very refined sugars at a much higher potency and dose than we used to.
Refined sugars, again, those are the more dangerous ones. And why are they more dangerous?
So the ability of our liver to actually metabolize fructose, there's fructose and glucose, which makes up sugar and makes up high fructose corn syrup. The fructose actually causes insulin resistance. So it's metabolized differently than glucose. All our cells in our body can utilize glucose, but not every cell can utilize fructose. And fructose is metabolized very rapidly and at an unregulated rate. And this leads to certain metabolic harms. It causes fatty liver disease, overall insulin resistance in our skeletal muscle. So now we can't actually put the glucose into our cells as readily. So now we are having higher glucose levels, which are toxic to the body.
So how damaging is refined sugar to us? You have studied the effects. You say it is worse than salt for our health, and certainly been hearing a lot about how dangerous salt can be. How did you come to this conclusion?
When we reduce our intake of sodium, the reduction in blood pressure is pretty minimal. However, when we look at trials comparing high and low sugar intakes, the increase in blood pressure seems to be at least twice that of salt.
Twice that of salt. So why didn't we know this?
Well, the most recent meta-analysis of randomized controlled trials in humans only came out in 2013. So it's relatively new that we had a comprehensive review of the literature in humans showing this effect. Additionally, we didn't know this because the blood pressure rise in sugar mainly occurs after you consume it. Most of the trials have been measuring blood pressure in the fasting state when blood pressure tends to come back to baseline. So what we see is we see a tremendous spike in blood pressure after you consume sugar.
And that's very dangerous?
Well, the variability in blood pressure that's going on upon consumption of sugar is, yes, very dangerous. Even if you don't have a rise in what's called 24-hour ambulatory blood pressure, which is your average blood pressure over 24 hours, the variability in blood pressure significantly predicts cardiovascular events like heart attacks and strokes. So, yes, it is predisposing us to an increased risk of heart attacks. In fact, just consuming one soda per day increases your risk of dying from cardiovascular disease by 30%, and consuming 2 to 3 sodas per day almost triples your risk of dying from cardiovascular disease.
You say sugar is addictive, that we are wired or can be wired to be addicted to sugar. Lots of people say, no, I'm not a sugar fan. I'm, you know, I might be a fan of something savory or chips, you know, something salty. What accounts for that?
So what accounts for that is there's a certain threshold that you have to consume for a certain period of time to alter the neurochemistry in the brain. And once the neurochemistry has been altered, then you can have addiction, because then you can have what's called dopamine depletion, which leads to withdrawals. If you look at brain scans of obese patients that consume sugar and you compare them to the brain scans of patients addicted to heroin or cocaine, and you look also at PET scans of patients with ADHD, we see the exact same thing. So what happens is you get this intense release of dopamine upon acute ingestion of sugar. And after you chronically consume it, those dopamine receptors start becoming downregulated. There's less of them, and they're less responsive. So what happens is once you're done consuming sugar, you're in this dopamine-deficient state, and that can lead to ADHD-like symptoms, attention deficit, trouble focusing, but it can also lead to a mild state of depression, right? Because we know that dopamine is that reward neurotransmitter. Above and beyond that, though, it's not necessarily withdrawal symptoms, but it's a side effect that leads to symptoms that forces you to go seek out refined carbohydrates. And what that's called is a state of prediabetes, which 80 million Americans have prediabetes. And what happens is when you ingest sugar, you end up overshooting your insulin because you're less responsive to the insulin when you have prediabetes. And what happens is your glucose levels drop so suddenly that you get low blood sugar. And now you're shaky, you're jittery, you feel bad, you feel nauseating, you're sweating. And what happens is your insulin levels are so high that the only macronutrient that your body can use at that time is sugar or carbohydrate. So you're in this vicious cycle of, if you have prediabetes, a lot of times you're ingesting sugar, your blood sugar goes low, then you crave it because you're having these side effects. So not only are you having withdrawal symptoms, but you're literally in a physical state that's predisposing you to consume added sugars.
If you could wave a wand and have the FDA do what you think it should do, what would that be?
So the FDA should stop subsidizing unhealthy foods. So high fructose corn syrup is made from corn. We know that the government subsidizes corn. So high fructose corn syrup is cheaper than regular sugar. And that's why it's so ubiquitous in our diet, because it's very cheap. And they need to start subsidizing healthy foods. So we shouldn't be able to eat a Snickers bar for cheaper than we can eat an apple.
What do you do when you crave sugar?
So when I crave sugar, I try to get that healthier fix. So some type of dark chocolate with an almond to bring some protein. And so I'm satiated and I'm still getting a little bit of that fix, but I'm not having these metabolic harms that can lead to a change in my brain neurochemistry, as well as basically the biology throughout the entire body.
James, thank you for letting us know you're human.
Yeah, I mean, we got to give people hope, right? There's you don't want to just tell them you can't ever have sugar again.
That's for sure. Even despite the argument that you've been making. James D. Nicolantonio is a cardiovascular researcher at St. Luke's Mid-America Heart Institute in Kansas City, Missouri.